Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Goody, let's start by going back to the two-game stretch Virginia had over the weekend, playing at Charlottesville at home against Duke and kind of getting whacked, and then being able to win a big game in Chapel Hill. That was huge.
Yeah, listen, if you could have told them they were going to get a split, I think they would have taken it to some degree, especially with the way Duke shot the ball against them. I mean, R.J. Barrett comes out hitting for his first five. Cam Reddish is hitting them. When that happens, nobody's going to beat Duke for real. Nobody's going to beat them when they shoot the ball like that. Now, I don't know if they're going to shoot the ball like that very consistently. They did it against Kentucky the first game. They did it against Virginia in Charlottesville. But they're not that good a shooting team. So my biggest question for them is, you know, in those one or two games in the NCAA tournament, when they're 3-for-15 from three, who are they playing, and can they still win games like that? I still like Virginia. I still think they have a chance to win six straight because they've got multiple guys who could score the ball. They know their roles, and I think they're going to be on a mission once they get to the NCAA tournament, obviously, based on what happened in the first round last year.
You know, I love Jerome's game. I never knew he was so good coming out of New Rochelle, but he reminds me, you know, believe me, I'm like 6'4", 200 like him, and he's got those long arms, and he gets those little shovel shots off when he'll drive in the paint and then, you know, lean one way and whip it up off the glass from either hand, and he drives a lot. He's not afraid to go to the rack. I love that kid's game, and he's been playing with a bad back. I saw him getting jellied up over the weekend and against the Heels. That's a problem, but I love that kid's game. Did you know he was such a stud coming out of high school?
No, he was like a fringe top 100 kid. I remember seeing him a bunch in AAU, and I liked him, but I didn't, like, love him. I was like, all right, Kyle Guy, I'd seen him a ton, too, in AAU, and loved Kyle Guy, loved him. But again, I thought, like, Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome together, like, how good are these two dudes going to be in the ACC at the highest level? Kyle is so thin, but I think they're both going to be on rosters in the NBA. And I think DeAndre Hunter, nobody knew how good he was. Redshirted his freshman year. So those three are three high level guys that I think are all going to be on NBA rosters. I don't know what roles they're going to be at the next level. And let's face it, like, Tony Bennett is one hell of a coach. I mean, say what you want, and people will. Well, they lost to UMBC, and, well, he hasn't gotten to the Final Four. I get all that, but look at what he's done. I mean, their record in the ACC, it's 10 games better over the last 5.5, almost 6 years. He's got a record 10 games better than both Kay and Roy in the ACC. That's insane.
Did you, go back to those Indiana losses with Iowa and then Ohio State? And I've been saying on the air, I went to IU and everything. The last time they were relevant, if you ask me now, sans 2002 when Davis got him to the finals and they lost. The last time they were legit was 87 when Knight beat Syracuse at the Superdome. I was at the game. It was the last game I ever covered. Keith Smart shot. I cannot believe, Goody, how bad they have fallen, because they really suck. I don't care what anybody says. And that kid, Romeo Langford, he's not ready for the NBA either. I don't care what anybody says.
He's not ready, but he'll go, and he'll be taken in the top 10. I think it's a combination of things. But you're right. Listen, other than the 1 year when they were the number one seed under Crean and was knocked out by Syracuse in the Sweet 16, that was probably the only other time you would say they were nationally relevant, right? But they didn't get to the Final Four. The problem is Crean didn't leave them enough, number one. You know, he didn't have a chance to keep Thomas Bryant or James Blackman. OG was gone. We knew that. And then Archie just hasn't done, number one, a great job. Number two, he's had a lot of issues, whether it's suspensions, injuries, whatnot. The only player that Crean really left him of any major note was Juwan Morgan. He gets Romeo, so everybody thinks, like, Romeo is Eric Gordon. And he's not. He's not a killer like Eric Gordon. That's the difference, is Romeo's not the shooter Eric Gordon was. and he doesn't have that personality. They're both quiet off the court, but Eric Gordon was a straight-up killer on the court.
No doubt, and he's still hitting bombs in the NBA. Let's talk about your piece you did on Zion Williamson. I thought it was really cool where you basically, in essence, talked to a bunch of players that had faced him, and what did you derive from all that, talking to all those different kids?
I mean, number one, that they all basically said, like, underneath it all, I don't know how you stop him. I don't know. Because, you know, you're talking to some of these dudes, and they're like, one guy was like 195 pounds. Another kid was like 220. Like, the biggest kid he went up against was like 240. So no matter who you are, you're giving up 40, 45 pounds to this kid. And, yeah, I was actually talking to LeBron the other night when he came in Boston about Zion. And I said to him, like, you know, a lot of people have compared you to Zion. And he looked at me and he's like, you know, what does he weigh, 260? I said, no, he weighs 285. He goes, man, I weighed like 215, maybe 220 at the same stage. My rookie year, I weighed about 220. And that's the biggest difference is, and he's way better than I thought too. He's way better because he plays harder on both ends of the court. He plays hard and he's got better skill level than we thought. Like, he's quicker. He makes better decisions. He's a good passer. He's not a dog. Like, he plays for his team. Like, that was the other part, is that every guy that I talked to who guarded him, of all 12, they were all like, had the ultimate respect for him because he didn't talk any trash. He was a great teammate. Like, they all just, you never hear that. Everybody's always, well, you know, like, he did that, you know, everybody's jealous, or at least a lot of them. Nobody was jealous of this kid.
So what do you think of I just want to say this about him as well, that like, we've talked about this on the show, that they constantly it's turned into Zion TV, your old stomping grounds. I think it's embarrassing, though, when they spend time showing him missing dunks. That makes no sense to me, where they showed the highlight of him doing the reverse dunk miss the other night, or the windmill dunk that he missed, and they showed it 5 million times on ESPN. I've never seen a guy in my life, not even Michael Jordan, where they showed him missing dunks.
Ratings, my man. Ratings. That's all. Listen, they know Zion sells. So it's crazy because you watch and, like, Zion will have 27 points. RJ Barrett will have 25. They'll show like 27 from Zion, or every field goal, and they'll show like one field goal from RJ Barrett. And they just know, listen, they know that the combination of Zion and Duke is like ESPN's dream right now. Because of from a ratings perspective.
Yeah, I can't jive with that. I can see showing him hammering dunks and going to the lane and finishing and grabbing rebounds, swatting shots, and everything else. I don't see what purpose it serves, or to him. I don't know how it does him any good that, you know, like, his head's got to be getting bigger and bigger knowing that he's on TV 24/7, and now they're even showing him having you know, failure as some kind of success. That's amazing to me. What do you think of the new top 16 seeds that were revealed over the weekend of, you know, the first looks at March Madness with, you know, Duke 1, Tennessee 2, Virginia 3, Gonzaga 4, and Kentucky 5, Michigan 6, et cetera?
I don't care that much. I mean, honestly, I think it's just done for entertainment value, get people talking, get people interested. That's fine. I mean, you know, Super Bowl's over. You want to get people interested, so it's something to talk about, but it's irrelevant right now. I mean, listen, the key is how much the 10 committee members are going to rely on this new evaluation tool, the net. That's the biggest thing right now. And, you know, it's pretty close in line for the most part with the net. You know, there's some differences in terms of the order, but for the most part, you know, the teams that are there are the ones that are high up in the net. And The biggest shock, period, in the country right now for teams that are up there that we wouldn't have expected is the job Kelvin Sampson's done at Houston. He lost his best player, Rob Gray, from last year, and they've lost one game. And it was like on a last-second charge. Like, Houston could be legitimately undefeated right now. Now, the American isn't that good, but still, the fact that we're talking about Houston and Kelvin Sampson, and I'll tell you what, like, it's going to be interesting to see if some of these jobs pop. UCLA is already open. We'll see what happens at Arizona. We'll see what happens at you know, Texas A&M, at, you know, Texas, I think, is fine, Shaka, for this year. But it'll just be interesting to see with Kelvin and the fact that he was fired for phone calls years ago with a five-year show cause. Who will go after him, if anybody? Because the guy can coach. He can coach.
There's no doubt he can coach. He was doing great until they busted him, and that kind of, you know, sullied his name. What do you think of Marquette? That you go back to that nice win over Nova. How tough do you think they are?
They can score, man. They have two of the top maybe 10 shooters in the country, not just Marcus Howard, but Sam Hauser. So Wojo's finally got a team, and Howard is just electric. He can score. He can put up 30, 40. They're tougher than they've been over the last few years. That's kind of the biggest thing for this Marquette team. They guard. They're tougher. They're older. And Wojo, you know, it took them 5 years here to really get it going at a program that, again, a lot of people would say is as good as just about any in the Big East because of the money they spend at Marquette. They support that program. And Buzz Williams left for Virginia Tech 5 years ago. They hire Wojo. It took a while, but he's finally got it to where, you know, they may be able to win the Big East. And the Big East isn't the way it's been over the last few years. It's not. I mean, listen, Villanova's come back strong, but there's still nothing like the Villanova teams of the last 3 years. And, you know, St. John's is talented. They're just so up and down and erratic. And I love Shamari Ponds. Their guard is terrific.
Yeah, he is a badass. What do you think of the job Mac's doing at Louisville? They got a big game this week with Duke.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, I saw him. I was there for that Kentucky game, and they were never really in it. Like, his talent level, what he was given, is average at best. They've got a really good recruiting class coming in next year, so I think, which is really impressive because the NCAA hasn't finished everything up on Louisville, and they've done a great job. Now, Chris Mack's one of the best young coaches. And I hate to call him young. He's not really young. But he's done an unbelievable job with a roster that may not have an NBA player on it. You know, just their second best player is Kristen Cunningham, who's a grad transfer from Samford. And you know how many games Samford won last year? 10. Samford.
That's
their second best player.
Hey, Goody, do you think the job Jay's done at Nova is pretty impressive? They, you know, finally lost a Big East game, but they were 10-0 until the Marquette loss. He's done a hell of a job with a team that lost a lot.
Hell of a job. I mean, seriously, ridiculous. And he got a lot of crap because he wasn't playing the kid Javon Quinterly, you know, who they got. Remember, he was the one who initially signed with Arizona, McDonald's All-American. He ends up bouncing out of that commitment. They take him at Villanova. And I had him on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was so honest about it. He said, listen, this kid was – he's a street ball player. That's basically what he called him. He said, like, you know, we – basically without saying it, he said we had to kind of deprogram him. And he's not playing for him, but he's got guys that just buy in. And the culture is real at Villanova. I know people are tired of hearing about it, but it's at a point now where – guys like Eric Pascal and Phil Booth, they're going to pass it down to the next group. And hopefully they won't lose it like they did. Because for a while there, a couple of years, they lost it. The Corey Stokes, Corey Fisher, that group, they kind of lost it. And Jay Wright had to get it back by getting his type of guys.
Yeah. Hey, what's the name of the podcast, Goody, that everybody can check out?
Good and Plenty. Good and Plenty podcast.
I like that.
A lot of college. You got to listen to the one. The best one I did was I don't know how long ago, a month and a half ago. Gilbert Arenas was phenomenal because we were just telling stories. Like, legitimately, he told the gun story. He told, like, the story, his best prank. He was a big prankster, still is, where he, like, took somebody's car and, like, hit it and took the rims off it. Like, Gilbert's just awesome. I mean, just hilarious.
Yeah, so one night we got back from a Thrasher game in Atlanta, landed in the Hawks team plane. We got out of the parking lot, the private lot at Hartsfield, and Isaiah Ryder at the time was playing with the Hawks, and someone had taken three of his tires. They left one on the block. That's when you know you got people that don't like you and know exactly who you are and where you park your car. Hey, Goody, great stuff, man. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Always, man. Always good being on, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Jeff Goodman, our guy. Check out his podcast, too. I love it. Good and Plenty. He's on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.